Well, good evening. Thank the elders for giving us young men the opportunity to for this Bible study and to share what we have learned from the scriptures. And I want to thank you all for your prayers. I got a number of emails and text messages and phone calls and saying people were praying for me yesterday and today, and I just really appreciate those of you who took time out to do that. It meant a lot to me. Originally signed up for this sermon when I was lying in a hospital bed in Omaha, Nebraska, just last December during Christmas. And at first, I originally didn't want to sign up just shortly before them until we got the transplant call, because really this year was just full of uncertainty. Didn't know what was going to happen, when it was going to happen. So I just praise God for his faithfulness since then. Though he ultimately opened up the door for me to preach this evening. And I want to thank him for how far along he's brought me health-wise in the past 9 months. So since this is Young Men's Bible Study, we'll mainly be looking at scriptures tonight and looking at how they tie into God's faithfulness. We're going to be looking at some different definitions of and different meanings of the word faithfulness found in scripture. And hopefully we can pull some applications from this. And this is going to be a real fast look at a bunch of different Bible verses, so feel free to keep up and follow along in your scriptures or just write them down. So let's go ahead and just start with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us all here this evening, and thank you for just your faithfulness and protecting us each and every day, and for granting us salvation. You know how unqualified I am to be up here, Lord, and it is only through your grace that you can, that I can bring this message. I pray that you would be with us now, just prepare our hearts for the word that is to be received, and if there's anything in error, I pray that you would just keep it from coming out of my mouth, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to start off by looking at the word faithfulness, as this is obviously the reason why we are here this evening, is to look at God's faithfulness. And there are, like I say, a number of different meanings of the word faith and faithfulness in Scripture. You see faithfulness, you see faithful, you see faith, and there are actually a lot of different meanings for these different ways you look at it and the different interpretations. So let's just dive right in. One of the meanings of the word faithfulness, which is the main focus tonight, is it is used to describe God's faithfulness. And that word is emunah. And in interpretation, it would mean security, stability, firmness, and unwavering. And in Numbers 23:19, we see this word come up where it says, God is not a man that he should not lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? And in this, you see, God is truth. In no way can he lie. It is completely removed from who he is. Whatever he says, he will do. Another passage that comes up here is Psalm 36:5, and it says, Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. And this also is a foundational truth when considering God's faithfulness. God's mercy encompasses the whole universe, and his steadfastness is sure throughout the whole earth. He is faithful in his mercy towards us as believers. So look at Psalm 119:90. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. And this is not a deistic, you know, what some deists would consider a higher being, where someone who created the universe but now is no longer interested in it or part of our lives. Someone I can clearly says is that God's faithfulness is unto all generations. And so we can pull that God is involved in our daily lives in every generation from Adam to the end of time. And this should really encourage us as believers when we are, you know, talking to people, witnessing, and it comes up, well, you know, we're talking to certain people who would maybe say, well, you know, there might be a God, but there might not be. You know, it's really encouraging just to see just a point through our daily lives of where, well, we see him at work in this, you know, in these different areas. Another passage is Ephesians 5, 1 and 6, where it says, and this one talks about God's faith. It also is a commandment towards us, but it also talks about who God is in our lives. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So because truth and righteousness is what God's nature is, it is impossible for him to pardon sin. The wrath of God and the punishment of God is sure upon those who reject him. Going on to another aspect of this word being used is Lamentations 3, 21 through 25. And here it says, this is another encouraging passage to us as believers. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto those that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. We can rest assured that God's mercies never go away. The very fact that we are still alive is testimony to this fact. The mercy he showed toward us by sending his own son to die on the cross is testimony as well. And this is another point that ties into God's faithfulness. He is faithful in his mercies. That goes back to Psalm 36:5. So another way of the word that faithful is used in scriptures, another actual Greek word, is the word pistos. And it is used to describe both man and God in cases as being objectively trustworthy, subjectively trustful, reliable, believing, or faithful. Now, obviously, God's faithfulness and man's faithfulness are two completely different things. Now, we can be faithful, but it's not a faithfulness that is above all else. It's not a faithfulness that is completely guaranteed. We're fallible. We're errant. But when it uses the word pistos describing God, we can of course know that God is infallible. So that's just a little disclaimer I want to throw in right there. So a use for the word pistos is 1 Corinthians 10:13, where it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." So God does not lead us into temptation, nor does he cause us to fall into temptation, but he is faithful in providing a way out of it. Also, 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And that word just literally to kind of paraphrase, it means legal. Basically, God has the legal right to forgive us our sins because of Jesus Christ's death on the cross. And so, going off of this verse, though, it does say God is not slack in His promise. It says He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So, it is implying that He is not slack in His promise to forgive sins. The way in which He forgives sins, as we have pointed out, is totally righteous by providing atonement for our sins by Jesus Christ. Let's go on to when you see the word faith in scriptures, there are many different meanings. We're not going to have time to cover all of them. But so faithful, we just looked at, was pistos. This is pistis. Very similar in meaning, although just used in slightly different ways. So the interpretation of faith is belief, trust, and in the scriptures specifically, the persuasion of the truthfulness of God, and especially reliance upon Christ for salvation, with an implication that certain actions will ensue as a result of faith. And that last point is very interesting, because it's not only head knowledge that, you know, faith is demonstrated. It's also going to come about by our actions and by our works as well. And so we see in Romans 1:16-17, where it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Going on to Hebrews 11:1-3. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." And this passage, like from the definition, this passage gives us a very clear view of what faith is. How that we believe in something, so that we believe in something that is not seen, but the evidence of things not seen. So this passage of Hebrews 11, I really appreciated Matthew Henry's comments on this passage in his commentary. And he says, "Faith always has been the mark of God's servants from the beginning of the world. Where the principle is planted by the regenerating Spirit of God, it will cause the truth to be received concerning justification by the sufferings and merits of Christ. And the same things that are the object of our hope are the object of our faith. It is firm persuasion and expectation that God will perform all He has promised to us in Christ. This persuasion gives the soul to enjoy those things now. It gives them a substance or reality in the soul by the first fruits and foretaste of them. Faith proves to the mind the reality of things that cannot be seen by the bodily eye. It is a full approval of all God has revealed as holy, just, and good. This view of faith is explained by character in the Word of God. Faith was the principle of their holy obedience. Remarkable services, the patient sufferings, the Bible gives the most true and exact account of the origin of all things, and we are to believe it, and not to rest the scriptural account of the creation, because it does not suit with the differing fantasies of men. All that we see of the works of creation were brought into being by the command of God." So it even addresses also later on in Hebrews 11. We aren't going to have time to really dive into that, but talking about the heroes of faith in the scriptures. I did originally have that to talk about, but unfortunately, I think for time's sake, we are going to not have time. Another passage, and this is a little bit longer of a one, so you can go ahead and turn there, is James 2, 14 through 26. And this one is really relating to, of course, works as related to faith and how, as we were seeing earlier on, that faith in of itself, the definition of the word faith, implies that works are going to follow after knowing what you do about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's go ahead and read James 2, 14 through 26. It says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." This was something I found very interesting when studying, that the word faith, again, I'm going to reemphasize that the word faith is not only having head knowledge about God. It's not only knowing what we know about our beliefs as Christians, but it also, faith, if you have faith in God, if you have faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, that is going to also, the meaning of the word faith in the Greek meaning is going to mean that there are going to be actions that are following your actual faith, knowing about God. Head knowledge is not the only thing. And that is something that, like I say, was pretty interesting to me when studying. I never really thought the full meaning of the word faith. So another word that actually is just the opposite. We looked at pistos and pistis that have similar meanings. Well, the next word we're going to look at is oligopistos. And it comes from both the words pistos and pistis, but it has the addition of oligo to it, which gives the impression of something small, little in number, low in quantity. So the direct meaning of oligopistos is little faith or lacking confidence in Christ. And this meaning actually even bears on it the implication of shame, disgrace, or insult. This word is used whenever Jesus uses this phrase a lot in the Gospels, O ye of little faith. That word, oligopistos, is what is being used when he is speaking that. And we see that given in Matthew 6, on the Sermon of the Mount, where it says, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All our sustenance comes from God. It would be foolish to think that we in any way are the ones who make it happen, or we're responsible for what we have. Since God is faithful in providing for our daily needs, there is no reason why we should worry about what may come of us. We should never seek after possessions of the world to either make us fed, clothed, or even happy. While God may use earnings of money by labor to provide sustenance for ourselves, it is Him that is ultimately giving us life and guiding us. Now, saying this, it is also true that it would be foolish to idly sit around the house saying to yourself, God will provide. We are to seek after His kingdom, and God will provide the necessary means to live. So in closing, I just want to pose some questions. Do we really trust God? Do we know that He is in control? Or are we trying to keep things held together by our actions? Have we put our trust in Him, not only just head knowledge, but our actions actually showing that He lawfully and righteously, have we put our trust in Him knowing that He lawfully and righteously can forgive us of our sins by Jesus Christ's work on the cross? If we have any doubt, I would make this the day of salvation in your own life. And in closing, I want all of us to open our Bibles, if they're not already open. We're going to turn to Psalm 89. And we're going to start in verse 1. And we're going to read to verse 37. So follow along, if you will, in Psalm 89, starting in verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. In the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to them, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea, when the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, as one that is slain, thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are mine, are thine. The earth also is thine. As far as for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidst, I have laid upon one that is mighty. I have exalted the chosen one out of the people. I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, my arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne is the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah. So I hope we will all go away tonight pondering how God is faithful and how we can trust him. And ponder if the faith in our own lives reflects that of what is described in the scriptures. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you have brought us here to hear the message, Lord. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness you show to us every day, the faithfulness that we never, ever deserve. Lord, it is by your faithfulness that we are sitting here and breathing normally, and our whole body function is just working perfectly fine, Lord, or we are at least still alive, Lord. It is only through your mercy that you give us the good things of this world, Lord. Or the blessings that is also through your faith alone. I pray that you would be with us as we go our separate ways. I pray that we would ponder the words you had given here tonight. And that we would be changed people knowing these words, Lord. We would want to just continue to open the word more and know more about you, Lord. Thank you for this evening and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.